Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
As I said at the start of each message, if we want to see, can I have those slides up? Thanks, Dave, the first slide. If we want to see the power of God outworked in our lives and our community, we must keep training, we must keep desiring and aiming for more. And to do this, we must chase after God with a renewed vigour and a renewed enthusiasm. And the two scriptures that God has put on my heart for this series is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for each of us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, as I read those scriptures, and that one, every time I read it, sometimes I get in my head that sin that entangles us and weighs us down. But today, as I read that, it's the race that's been marked out for us. Every one of us have a separate race. Every one of us have an individual course that God has ordained for all of us. And as Andy preached a couple of weeks ago, we don't have to compare ourselves one with another. We become discouraged if we do that. But if we would chase after God and put God at the center and the focus of our lives, then this scripture comes into play. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. And so we have incredible promises in the Word of God of what he will give us, what he will do in our lives if we would put him first. So on week one, we looked at preparing ourselves to come into the presence of God, getting a right focus, making certain that our focus was in the right spot. In week two, we looked at dying to self and just that great statement that Pastor Oxy said so often to me and to us, who's on the throne? We need to take self off the throne. We need to place God on the throne of our lives. He needs to be the focus of what we're doing. In week three, it was imitating, inquiring of God. Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Do we allow God to get involved in every one of our decisions? Yesterday we have Pastor Dave Odd preach at men's breakfast, and one of the things he said of him and Beryl was that before they made any major decision, they always fasted and prayed and sought God, inquired of God as to whether they should do what they did. And when we inquire of God, when we obey God's voice, we then have that outworking of blessing because we know that we are in God's will. And then last week we looked at the ark. How do we handle the holiness and the glory of God? And so this morning it's a little different, and it might create some reactions, but this morning God put on my heart that we should talk about seeing God's face. Now, some might say seeking God's face, and I tried to put seeking God's face because that's what I would normally say. But every time I started to think seeking God's face, God said, no, it's seeing my face that I want you to talk about. So I have a question. What do you think about when you think about God's face? What is it that comes to your mind? You know, I have come to the conclusion that God hasn't got a face as we would probably picture it. Now, don't turn off. Don't start mentally arguing with me. How many started mentally arguing with me? Be honest. There's a lot of liars in this place. Let me give you an opportunity to understand why I say what I say. Because of our humanness, we often try and visualize an image so that we have a point of reference. And unfortunately, that's how we are. You know, now, of course, God created us in his image so we can say, well, we look like God. Does God really look like me? Poor God. But we know that. But we really too try and visualize God in the framework that we have because of what we see or feel or touch or are involved in. And the nation of Israel tried that, and it really got them into some hot water. Because the other nations had images of their God, Israel wanted the same. In Exodus 32:1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered together before Aaron and said to him, Come make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They persuaded Aaron to make an image that they could worship, that they could honour, that they could bow down before, because the other nations around them had images that they bowed down to. You know, we need to be very, very careful that we don't fall into the same trap that Israel did, that we don't try and make God fit into our image. And so when we're talking about seeing God's face, we need to start to try and image God as he would have us image him. With this in mind, I still do believe that God wants us to seek his face or to chase after him. And so when God uses in the word characteristics like his ears, his eyes, his hair, his lips, his mouth, his nostrils, which he does, and when you podcast the notes or download the notes, you'll be able to see all those scriptures there. We have to ask ourselves, what's he trying to get us across? What is it that he wants us to see? What is it that he's imaging there? And again, I spent a lot of time just musing on this, meditating on this, thinking about this, just trying to understand what it was that God wanted me to get across this morning. And I came to that conclusion that God is trying to get us to see his characteristics. He's trying to get us to see his attributes. And as I studied the whole of the passages in regard to the face of God when it's mentioned, more often than not, it referred to his character. It referred to his countenance. It referred to his presence or his favour towards his people. For God to turn his face to his people often meant that he was offering them his grace for help. And when I looked at the scriptures where it talked about God turning his face from his people, it was God withholding his blessing, withholding his favour. Let's just have a look at some of those passages that show us the face of God as a sign of favour and blessing so you understand. In Numbers 6, Dave, can you fix that for me? Ah, thank you. In Numbers 6, 25 to 26, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Or in Psalm 4, verse 6, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. And then in Psalm 67, verse 1, God be gracious and kind-hearted to us and bless us and make your face shine with favour on us. Or in Psalm 105, verse 4, seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, his might. Seek and deeply long for his face and his presence continually. We know the Bible tells us in Psalm 32, verse 8, that he will instruct us and teach us in his ways, and he will guide us with his eyes. It also tells us that grace can be found in God's eyes, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so when we're seeing God's face, when we're looking into his eyes in a metaphor type of way, we're looking into God's natures, his ability. We're looking into his attributes. I think God's heart is in his eyes. I ask you another question. What does God's eyes tell you when he looks at you? You know, I remember sitting as a young lad in a Sunday school concert picking my nose on the stage. And I remember, and it's as vivid as it is right now, we're talking, you know, some 59 years ago, 58 years ago, I looked down at my father and his eyes were boring at me going, how many people can picture their dad's or their mum's eyes talking to them? Yeah, God talks to us through his eyes. What does his eyes tell you? Again, as I muse and meditated just on this whole thing of seeing God's face, these are the words that came to me as I meditated. I see God as benevolent. I see him as kind. I see him as loving. Sometimes his eyes are very piercing. You know, when you've done something wrong, you don't want to look into somebody's eyes because they see something. Your face tends to do that. You know, now, my kids were perfect and never did anything wrong. But whenever you went into their room and they might have been a little mischief, they wouldn't want to look at you. And you knew exactly that they had been trying to do something that they shouldn't have been doing, or they were hiding something they shouldn't have been hiding. When somebody tells you a fib, a lie, you know, they can't look you in the eye. And I find that God's eyes sometimes are very piercing. Sometimes, for me, I look into God's eyes and I see sadness. Sadness as in compassion, sadness as in sorrow, sadness as in paining, hurting. You know, his love has been shed abroad, and yet we are rejecting him in so many ways. I see compassion. You know, Chris and Andy went and prayed for this young lad that whose father rang in during the week and wanted prayer for his son. And they went round and they had an incredible experience. The father just rang our church and said, "Look, my son's got cancer. Could you come round and pray for him?" And Chris and Andy went round on Thursday, and that whole family there, I think there was eight or nine of them there, and they were all in the room. And Chris and Andy shared with the family, shared with the son, and he's got brain tumours right through his scalp at the moment, a very sick young man, 21 years old. But there was a compassion there, and out of that compassion, that young man gave his heart to the Lord and wants to get baptised. You know, an amazing thing. But there was a compassion there. And when you read the word compassion and mercy in the Bible with Jesus' ministry, you'll always see a miracle. You'll always see a healing. You know, when you walk down the street and you see somebody and you have compassion for them, I think that's God moving on us. So I see God as compassionate. I see him sometimes disappointed. Disappointed because we're not living as we should be doing. I'm talking about myself. We see him as understanding. And I often see God smiling. I often go home from church on a Sunday or from an activity and I'll say to Chris, "God smiled today. We made him happy today." God loves us as his children. And he loves it when we do his will and purpose. He loves it when our hearts are towards him. And I think it makes him smile. By looking into God's face, the Bible says that we can be changed. In 2 Corinthians 3:18 it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as the glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, we have that incredible picture of Moses coming down from the mount, having been with God, and they had to put a hessian bag over his head because the glory of God was so great. You always know when people have been in the presence of God, when there's just an aura, there's a radiance, there's something there. And somebody has been spending a lot of time waiting on God and God talks to them. There's just something that transposes. You know, I believe that we can be changed, as that scripture says. The unfortunate part is I think that often we've lost the art of adoring the Lord. You know, even at church on Sunday, and I love our worship. I love what our guys do. I love just the way that they help us to come into the presence of God. But sometimes we allow our minds to be so filled with so many of the things of the world, or what we're going to do when we get home, or what we didn't do and we should have done before we left home, or whatever the case may be, that we've lost the art of just bathing in and adoring the Lord. Some of us come to him with heavy burdens. Some of us are frustrated and distracted to the point that we have trouble seeing the Father or understanding how much he loves us. I wonder whether you've ever thought about seeing yourself as a baby in the arms of a father. You know, I was picturing this as I was thinking about it. You know, I used to rock my kids to sleep in my arms. I looked across before and Em was rocking Kit. And you could just see an incredible sense of dependence, but a sense of comfort. You know, when I held my kids in my arms and was rocking to sleep, they would look at me and you would see that sleep drift into their eyes. And, you know, they would keep their eyes awake a bit and then they'd close and then they'd wake a little bit, then they'd close and they'd be more closed than open, and then finally they would drift off. And apart from wanting to say, "Yay, they're asleep!" You knew that there was security there. You knew that they could sense love and peace, and they just went off to sleep in an incredible way. The only way I know how to describe that was just security, adoration, peace, comfort, knowledge of love. They didn't talk, they didn't squirm. They were just enjoying being close. You know, when Chris and others nurse their babies, you know, it's exactly the same thing. It's a sense of closeness, a sense of oneness. And again, when our kids were being nursed and fed, you know, you would see them playing with fingers. You'd see even Chris would play with their fingers. They would just rub their ears. There was just that really incredible sense of closeness and oneness. You know, I think that God wants us to do the same to him. I think too often we come to him with our temporal problems. We stay in his presence just long enough to string out the words that we have on our heart that we want him to fix. Instead of resting in him, instead of living in him, instead of laying in him. And that's what I loved about the Chicks Getaway, or Hideaway, and just the whole aspect of what they did last week. They set aside 2 days to hear God's voice. And the activities that were designed and created, even though they might have looked as though they were just part and parcel of girls doing girly things, it was all about hearing God's voice. It was all about slowing down and taking time out to do what you don't normally do in the busyness of your day. God wants us to find that place of peace with him. He wants us to stop and just look at him. What he's really wanting is to receive our most intimate worship, our most intimate adoration. That adoration and worship that transcends words, that you can't describe. If somebody said, "Can you describe it to me?" You can't. It's like trying to describe peace. You can't describe peace. It's just something that happens. But you know what no peace is like. So it's time to stop allowing the cares of this world. This is what Mark talks about in the sower or the seed parable. It's time to stop allowing the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things to enter in and to choke what God wants to do. You know, if we don't stop that, then we'll become like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Back in Jesus' day, the Bible says that they missed their hour of visitation. Can you imagine missing the hour of visitation? Now, I know what it's like, because whenever you don't go to church, everyone tells you it was the best service we've had for a long time. Okay, but imagine what they felt in Luke 19 41:42, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and he said, if you, even you, had only known of this day, what would bring you peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. It's up to us to understand that God is calling us to a new level of intimacy. And as we continue on in this Chasing After God series, and as you reflect back on the past messages and just even the titles, if you don't want to go back to all the words, just think of the titles because they'll remind you of what God is challenging us in. If you will dare to chase after him, to answer his call, I believe that God will reveal to you a fresh part of his character. Something that you've never sensed before, something you've never seen before. If you would just take time to wait on him, if you will pull close to him, I believe that you can enter into that rarefied air that many don't ever enter into. Let's lay aside every distraction. Let's focus our body, our soul, and our spirit upon God. You know, when his presence becomes so strong that we become oblivious to everything and everything around us, that's when I know that we encounter God. And we've had many services like that. I've had many experiences like that, but it's only been when I have chased after God, when I have sought first the kingdom of God. And it doesn't just happen. It happens over time. And I encourage you to do that. If you have that experience, you will never recover from it. And I believe that God wants us. And if you haven't had an experience where you've really sensed God's presence, then in a few minutes we're going to worship God again. We're going to take communion. I'm going to ask you just to say, God, I want to experience your presence. And I guarantee you that God will answer you. God is saying, I set before you an open door. You read Revelation 3 if you haven't. And just read what God means when he talks about that open door, what he's got for us. As we close this morning and get ready for communion, I just believe that God has got an open door for us at this moment. And he's beckoning us to come into a new place of intimacy, a new place of communion with him. So let's give him an opportunity to seal it. Let's do it as we continue to pray and fast in our own times. Let's do it as we have quiet times and we draw aside. Why don't you find that special place? It could be mowing the lawn, it could be driving the car, it could be cooking, believe it or not. It could be even vacuuming. I don't know how, but it could be. But it also could be just sitting in a quiet spot, going for a bushwalk or whatever. Find where you know that you can get close to God, but make time for him. Andy, can we come, please? Those that are waiting on us for communion, if you would do that. And this morning, I don't know of a better way of seeing God's face and seeing his love and his adoration. Chris, just take it off. Just pull it. Seeing his adoration than by holding in our hands the elements of communion and recognizing the incredible love that has been shed abroad to us, that is available to us. You know, we have communion because it's a time of remembering him. We have communion because it reflects so much of what Jesus has done for us, everything he's done for us. There's so many aspects and elements to communion, and you hear that regularly. But today I want you to hold the elements, and I want you to actually allow God to reveal himself afresh to you. See his face this morning. See his love. Maybe look and see him looking out over the world and saying, it is finished. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Could be just God the Father looking down at the Son and saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Imagine the anguish that God the Father had in seeing his Son, his beloved Son, suffering on that cross, but then recognizing the obedience of that Son, his Son, I only do what my Father tells me to do.